It occurred to me this past week that it was 35 years ago this fall that I took neuroanatomy and neurophysiology in medical school. You know, back when we took our notes on stone tablets, right? But it was that fall semester that I became fascinated the first time with the concept of memory. The brain's awesome and still quite mysterious way of laying down neural pathways that help us to encode and store and retrieve data that give our lives the contoured meaning and quality that they have. And then 15 years later, while in seminary, memory unfolded to me then as a spiritual concept, as a means by which we ritually lay down pathways of religious experience and memory that lend meaning to that contoured life. And friends, this Feast of All Saints that we celebrate today is at its core a feast of memory, a veritable cornucopia of remembering in ways that connect us to something larger than ourselves. Remember your baptism. Remember those whom we love but see no longer. Remember them as they feast at the heavenly banquet. Eat the bread and drink the wine around this table in remembrance that Jesus invited us to the feast. And remember in a way that you have a foretaste of that heavenly banquet to which we will all be invited in the fullness of time. Taste and see that God is good is the psalmist's nudge this morning to use our senses in full regale on this Feast of All Saints. So rich is this feast of memory that the church has actually set apart a 3-day tradition of observance to take in the fullness of memory. It begins on October 31st with All Hallows Eve, when we remember our fears, those things which trouble our souls and jolt us awake. And while the secular holiday of Halloween may have become something more cliched with its costumes and candy, the vestiges of that religious tradition are still there for us to remember that those things that go bump in the proverbial night of the soul are real. And our fears help us lay down memories that can serve us a purpose. And surely we can say, we have fears in these days and in this time. We're invited in this feast to bring it all to the surface with intention and connect those fears within the scope of the larger narrative in which God is at work in ways that we can only begin to imagine, but to do so such that the fears do not overwhelm us or control our lives. And then we move to November 1st, the actual Feast of All Saints, a time of remembering those figures who have changed the course of history by their will and witness to channel God's love in a world that so desperately needs it. In truth, the world has always needed it. And so we remember in our time those whose gift is one of solace and inspiration for us. And then November 2nd, All Souls Day, gathers into today's feast an opportunity to remember those who have been part of our lives, whom we love but see no longer, but whose presence in our lives surely shapes who we are today, and we commend them to God as well. And so all 3 days are rolled into this first Sunday in November when we gather on a Sunday and we claim it as the Feast of All Saints, the Feast of Memory, and we remember. Now, the neurology of memory is really quite fascinating. Simply put, It's three steps. We take sensory input, the sights and the smells and the tastes and the sounds and the ways that we touch in creation, and we wrap it all in the spatial reference to the location in which we receive that sensation. And all of that is converted to an electrical signal that transfers to the brain. It only becomes memory, though. It only becomes a short-term memory when we practice attention or awareness with those sensations. Most of our sensations just fly right by us, unaware. But when we are attentive to them, that's when they become the short-term memories. Did you see the fall colors as you walked in the park this week? Did you delight in the taste of the dessert you ate last night at dinner? Did you smell the incense as it wafted by you this morning? That awareness enables us to conjure the memory in short order. Without it, it is just wispy, ethereal, fleeting. But here's the most striking part about memory in my mind. To create a long-term memory requires an actual change to your DNA. Specifically, long-term memory comes when there is DNA methylation, which changes the genes that lay down the tracks to your long-term memory. Carbon and hydrogen atoms form a bond, form a unit, and attach to the gene structure such that it is changed. And without that change, short-term memories are not converted to long-term memories, nor is there any capacity to retrieve the memory past just a very brief period of time. Now, this genetic change is at the heart of a lot of recently newsworthy articles on epigenetics and blood memory and adaptive memory and embodied memory. Indigenous peoples have long understood the effects of memories that are passed down across the generations. And religions have, at some level, known this to be true as well, which is why so much of our Christian liturgical tradition is about the work of remembering in ways that change us, that changes our spiritual trajectories. The theological word for this is anamnesis, literally the opposite of amnesia, anamnesis. Throw that word around at your dinner party sometime. Anamnesis is the sacred work of embedding our memories in God's narrative that gathers us up into something grand and good and meaningful. It's why we encourage godparents of the infants that are baptized in this place on days like today to tell the story of their godchild's baptism to that child again and again and again across time, so that the child comes to know or to remember their baptism. That's anamnesis. It's sacred work. It's why we say, remember your baptism as the holy water lights on your face during the asperges. It's why we say the names of those who have died in this community in the past year, and why we invite you around the altar in just a little while to say the names of those souls who have marked your life for good. Remember. It's why we share a meal of memory, so that we are changed, nourished to be saints in our own right. We remember, which is to say we remember. We reconstitute the memories of loved ones that connect us across time and space, and we trust that in God's grand design that this Feast of All Saints draws us closer to that great cloud of witnesses and the bonds of love we share with them. They are the very bonds that hold our DNA together, folks. I'm convinced of it. So remember today. Remember today. remember to celebrate because God is good. Taste and see and smell and hear and touch that God is good. Amen.